shit. No, it's not me exercising my potty mouth, but the name of Patricia Cornelius's award-winning play examining intersections of class and misogyny. It sold out at the Sydney Festival earlier this year, but if you missed out, you are in luck because it's coming back for an exclusive return season at the Seymour Centre. Joining you on the line now, though, is Patricia herself. Good morning, Patricia.
Hi, how are you?
I'm well. How are you?
I'm good.
Now, shit, what a great name for a play. Where did it... Why shit?
Sometimes I think, oh my God, it would seem very childish choice. But actually, what it does is warn people that if you cannot cope with this vernacular, if you cannot cope with the idea of shit, then... You can't come. Don't come to this play because it's a really good warning. But it's also about how we feel about these characters feel about the world and feel about themselves.
Yeah, I mean, it's such a quintessentially Australian expression. I feel as well.
It is. And we've got such a kind of unbelievable number of ways we can use it. So almost either you're a shit being the most friendliest thing in the world to the most nasty.
For sure. Now, the play was written in 2015, a couple of years ago. So what sparked the story of shit?
I worked with a group of, female playwrights and female directors, and we were working on a project called Locked In. And the project... The project is about women in incarceration. Mm-hmm. And it was looking at that notion of incarceration, in which my voice is incarcerated, the incarceration of women in prisons, the notion of incarceration of women in terms of their bodies, incarceration in the home, and all economic kind of notions. And we were sort of exploring it. And this play or these characters emerged for me and I took off with them.
Mm. I mean... So the three protagonists, it's Billy, Bobby and Sam. I love that they have quite masculine names. What was the thinking behind that?
It's a really interesting question because I've been asked it a number of times and I can't really articulate why they seemed right, but sort of the names like Kylie and Betty and Susie just did not go. Mm. And there was something about kind of the identification usually with women... with young people who are really disenfranchised, who are on the edge, who have been through a shit of a life, and the kind of a power that these characters had, it is sort of strangely fits within taking on the sort of male names. And it just worked better. And there was sort of some sort of weird power in it. And, some kind of identification and I suppose the innate knowledge too that... more and more young women are being incarcerated for more and more brutal crime and kind of that merging of ideas in some way.
Yeah, I mean, they're quite brash. I mean, you know, that they're in this description I have here, it says they are everything girls should not be and we hate them. What is it about women that don't conform to the norm that terrify society?
I think it is the confines that we find ourselves in is about kind of being quiet, about not being loud, about not being overly expressive, about our malcontent or our discontent, and so that it's just about sort of the way that we have been really confined. I mean, and still are. And the notions of what we our behaviour should be, and even in the sense of swearing or being loud or forthright or physical even, there's a sense that that's not ladylike. You know, it's
such
an old-fashioned term. Yeah, but it still kind of exists. To keep your legs together, walk properly. Don't wear that. You should look pretty. You should, you know. It's endless. You know it. We know it. I know it. It's all sort of tiresomely endless.
Mm. But it also seems to be implemented by other women, as opposed to just the patriarchy itself.
I think that's always going to happen. I mean, we become a lot of the violence becomes internal, and we judge each other dreadfully, and that's kind of the nature of patriarchy, really. That we participate in it, absolutely, and sadly so. These three women who have been through the foster care system are just gorgeously dreadful, and there's great spark in that. It's like a naughty girl at school. The naughty girl has a great attractiveness, and there's an attraction. There is something, and also you fear her because she's so outspoken and seems to break rules without any problem whatsoever. All the things that you worry about, she doesn't. So there's great power in that.
Do you think more? Like, you know, we've had this whole uprising, especially with the whole Trump inauguration, like about the nasty woman. Do you see that, like, see more of these nasty women coming up and actually going, yeah, we can actually speak out. We have power ourselves.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I think it's sort of, what's sort of more upsetting to me is that it's still happening. Mm. So I feel like I'm an older woman, and I kind of, the notion of slut, and the kind of sexual behaviour of women being viewed differently from men, and the trolling of women who speak out about the inequity of the gender inequity, and the kind of level of nastiness, I feel more disappointed that it's just perpetual, that there hasn't been a greater dint in it. Mm. And we kind of kid ourselves that things have moved along, but in some ways you feel, well, have they really?
Mm. I mean, like, now you'll see a lot when women who do speak out against gender equality, they're like the angry feminist, feminazis. How do we counter that?
Well, I like them. I don't want to counter them.
Counter the people calling them feminazis and, yeah, you know, angry feminists.
I feel, oh my God, it's sort of, the funny thing is that, you know, it's just the gender inequity in the theatre industry, and the number of women playwrights, for example, who are programmed against the number of men, and let alone diversity, the diversity question, which is just even worse. But it is, I used to think that once you kind of broach that you actually indicate that to the companies, and you say, look at these numbers, and why would, this is shocking, this is dreadful, and it has to be addressed. I sort of had this naive notion that you would look at that and go, or they would look at it and go, oh my God, it's really naive, but oh my God, that's shocking, we will address it. But in fact, what happens is you get this really angry response, this incredibly defensive response, and they get furious and they'll argue things, the bullshit, like only the best will do, and they get really angry and about their losing their position in it, and you sort of feel like, no, just act decently, just be decent. And it's quite marked how the response is so angry rather than actually sorry.
Let's try and find a solution.
Yeah.
I mean, like, you know, you just mentioned there in the theatre industry how of the inequality there. But when people bring in quotas and stuff, the anger is still there because they're like, oh, it's tokenism. How do you also counter that kind of?
I love quotas. I always run a campaign called quotas. If you can't do it on your own, if you can't manage the gender equity on your own, then bring in a quota system and absolutely have it in your policy of employment, that this is just what has to happen. I think the anxiety around quotas is nonsense. What's wrong if you have equal numbers? What's wrong with that?
Mm.
Why are we even talking about it?
Mm.
It's kind of bizarre. I love quotas. I'll argue for quotas any day. I've heard the argument was from some women where they think, well, did I get the job just because I was a woman?
Mm.
You think that men ask themselves that question?
Yeah.
You know, and did they get the job because they're a man? It looks like it. Often. Because the numbers are so weighted for them.
Yeah, staggering when it's like 90% male.
Yeah, yeah. So I just I love quotas.
Quotas should be your next play.
Yes. Thank you. That's a good idea. I actually, most people think that I'm going to have a much worse title than shit. They're like, no, there's only one place to go next. But the quotas is much more respectable.
Your material is writing itself. But shit does reopen for a return season. I mean, it was sold out during the Sydney Festival, so people are listening, are they not?
Oh, yeah, I think that also, you know, the vitality in that, of seeing women in such a physical play and three actors as wonderful as they are, and the kind of invigoration in watching these women take the stage and own it and have great control of it and have you in awe and have you in stitches and have you crying. All those things are just wonderful about a piece of theatre that features women and gives them a kind of something to bite on. They're terrific.
Well, we can't wait to see it. But Patricia, thank you so much for joining us here on So Hot Right Now this morning.
It's a great pleasure.